Let's read together Psalm 36. In this psalm, the principles by which the ungodly live are contrasted with the life and experience of the godly who know and love the attributes of the true and living and loving God. Psalm 36, beginning with verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Let's begin our study of Psalm 36 with some background notes. We don't know the exact occasion of this psalm, but we see from the title that it is one of the Psalms of David, and it was for the chief musician or choir director. Thus, Psalm 36 was set to music and used at the temple for worship. Let's read the title of Psalm 36. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. We see that David is referred to in the title as the servant of the Lord. This is a title that the Lord gave David as his anointed king. We read this in both 2 Samuel chapter 3 and 2 Samuel chapter 7. Here in Psalm 36, we have presented the great contrast between the way the ungodly thinks and acts and the way God's thoughts and actions are directed toward the blessing of the believer. This psalm has been concisely outlined as follows. In verses 1 through 4, we have the wickedness of the wicked. In verses 5 through 9, we have the graciousness of God. And in verses 10 through 12, we have the confidence of the Christian. Or even more concisely, the sinner in verses 1 through 4, the Savior in verses 5 through 9, and the saint in verses 10 through 12. Another commentator divided the psalm into two sections as follows. The lawless and his evil doing in verses 1 through 4, and the Lord and his loving kindness in verses 5 through 12. Now, with that introduction, let's consider our first doctrinal point for Psalm 36. So doctrinal point number one, the SOP of the ungodly is to not follow and not fear the Lord. The SOP of the ungodly is to not follow and not fear the Lord. Do you know what SOP stands for? Standard operating procedure. The standard operating procedure of the ungodly is to not follow and not fear the Lord. Listen as we read verses 1 through 4 once again. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. In verse 1, David claims that the Lord has spoken in his heart and given him special revelation and insight as to how the wicked think and look at life and thus how they live. The bottom line for the ungodly is that they have no fear of God if they believe in God at all. The wicked silence and soothe their guilty conscience by continuing to do evil. Verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. Thus, the ungodly become desensitized to sin, which is possible, by the way, even in a believer's life. Notice how TV sitcoms have already desensitized the Christian community to sexual sin, for example. Because the ungodly do not fear God, their talk is wicked, verse 3, and their thoughts are wicked, verse 4. They even plot and plan wickedness on their beds as they fall asleep, verse 4. Now, these verses are not only describing the terrorists of today, but anyone who willfully or ignorantly forsakes the moral standards of God. The SOP of the ungodly is to not follow and not fear the Lord. Doctrinal point number 2. The SOP of the godly is to experience and enjoy the attributes of God. The SOP of the godly is to experience and enjoy the attributes of God. Verses 5 through 10. What is the chief end of man? As the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now, our doctrinal point is just another way of stating this great truth. The SOP of the godly is to experience and enjoy the attributes of God. Notice in verses 5 through 10 how David not only lists some of the attributes of God, but describes them from the standpoint of experiencing them and enjoying them. The loving kindness of God is mentioned in verses 5, 7, and 10. Now, some translations use the words love or mercy, but loving kindness, this is the Hebrew word hesed, which is hard to translate by any one English word, thus loving kindness. The word means love that is steadfast and faithful and protective and righteous and loyal. It is an attribute of God. Notice how David not only states God's loving kindness as one of God's attributes, but David enters into the enjoyment of this wonderful attribute of God. Verse 5, your loving kindness, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Verse 7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. What a great illustration of the loving kindness of the Lord. We are safe and secure under His protective wings. And verse 10, oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. The righteousness of God, another one of God's attributes, is like the beautiful mountains, solid and immovable, and defining the moral landscape. Verse 6, your righteousness is like the great mountains. And the sovereign plans and decisions and judgments of God are deep and beyond us, but we know that they are for the benefit of man and beast. Verse 6. Now, how would you like to be an honored guest of the Lord if He owned a house on earth? Think of the accommodations and the amenities and the provisions. Think of how we could commune with the Lord and ask Him all our questions. It would be like the Garden of Eden before the fall. Like heaven on earth. Well, that's exactly the idea in verses 8 and 9. And we can enjoy these benefits before we go to heaven if we walk with the Lord. Verses 8 and 9 once again. They, that is the godly, are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Let me ask you, do you want insight and understanding of what life is all about? Then, as 1 John 1, 7 says, which is right in line with verse 9 of Psalm 36, let us walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. The SOP of the godly is to experience and enjoy the attributes of God. What about practical application from Psalm 36? Practical application number 1, come to the fountain of life. come to the fountain of life. Do you remember that Spanish explorer who was searching for the fountain of youth in Florida back in the early 16th century? He never found it. You know, people today are still searching for the fountain of youth and doing whatever they can to look young forever. But the aging process continues to take its toll. How much better to find the fountain of life? David found the fountain of life because he knew the Lord. He says to the Lord in verse 9 of this psalm, "For with you is the fountain of life." The ungodly in Psalm 36 did not find the fountain of life. Now let me ask you, have you found the fountain of life? In Jeremiah's day, the Lord rebuked the people of Judah for turning away from the fountain of living waters. I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. How foolish to turn away from a fountain of fresh water and try to quench your thirst with stagnant water from broken cisterns, which obviously could hold no water. How foolish. And yet that's exactly what the unbelievers of Jeremiah's day were doing. And that's what unbelievers are still doing today. The fountain of life is readily available, but people turn away from the Lord and try to quench their spiritual thirst with the stagnant waters of this world's empty cisterns. How foolish. The Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." John chapter 4, verse 14. The Samaritan woman believed and received everlasting life. She found the fountain of life. Again, the question, have you found the fountain of life? Come to the fountain of life. Practical application number 2. Pray for your preservation with the right philosophy. Pray for your preservation with the right philosophy. Verses 10 through 12. "Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise." In this psalm, we've seen two philosophies of life, the philosophy of the ungodly and the philosophy of the godly. Here in the closing section of this psalm, David prays that he would be preserved from pride and from the philosophy of the ungodly who would ultimately perish. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 says that there are pleasures in sin for a season. So following the right philosophy of life is not automatic. We need to pray as David did, that the Lord's continuing loving kindness and righteousness and our continuing experience and enjoyment of these attributes of God would preserve us from slipping into a philosophy of life that is not fully biblical. Many Christians have backslidden in this area. So pray for your preservation with the right philosophy.